You know, there is something about the middle of the night that just messes with us. You have those nights maybe where you have a hard time going to sleep, or maybe like me, you wake up and don't go back to sleep, and your head starts spinning and you're thinking about things. Truth is, we are creatures that are designed to function at our best in the daylight. And that's part of why the middle of the night can mess with our head. But there is scientific evidence that when we are sleeping, or we are trying to sleep, our prefrontal cortex, that's the part of the brain that controls rational thought, it's a lot more dormant than it is during the day. So those crazy thoughts you're having, it's a reason. There's a reason. There's a scientific reason. And that's part of the reason that we have middle of the night things that happen in our heads or in our hearts. And then we also have this sort of instinctive discomfort in the dark. I mean, our body functions, our eyesight is all designed for daylight. We don't see so well in the dark. We don't hear as well as other creatures. And we are susceptible to negative thoughts and emotions. The middle of the night, it can be hard on us sometimes. Our text today comes from the middle of the night. Jesus has had the Last Supper with his disciples. And he gets out, and it's late at night, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Our text is Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. So hear these words. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." This is the word of God for the people of God. So in this text, Jesus knows what's about to happen. And I think we see the most human Jesus that we see in Scripture. He knows what's about to transpire. And he goes to God in prayer and says, "If there's any way that this cup can pass me by, that would be great, but not my will, but yours." He goes off to pray by himself. He knows that he's about to be arrested. He knows what is in store for him: the pain, the suffering, the death, the crown of thorns, the derision, agonizing death that awaits him. Jesus is entering the most difficult part of his life, and he begins with a habit of praying to God, his Father. Jesus didn't suddenly become a man of prayer because things got difficult. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Jesus had already built a life based on prayer. So when the pressure came, when the hard part of his life came to light, he didn't panic. Jesus prayed. He turns to his disciples as he goes off and tells them to pray that they not come into the time of trial. Other translations say temptation. We talked about this several weeks ago, that this is about a time of testing. And he knows what's about ready to happen to the disciples as well. He's telling them, you're about to come into a time of trial. Pray. Strengthen yourselves. He knows what's coming. He knows that Peter's going to deny him three times. He knows that as soon as he gets nailed to the cross, the male disciples are scattering like frightened sheep, nowhere to be found. He knows what's happening to them, and he's telling them, go and pray. A tough time is coming. He moves away. I think this is one of the most touching moments in Scripture. The God of the universe, the Son of God, fully human, fully divine Jesus, kneels before God his Father and says, if there's any way I don't have to drink from this cup, that would be good. He is feeling the pressure. He is understanding what is coming his way. And let me be clear, this cup, it is much, much more than just death. It is much, much more than just suffering. What Jesus has experienced on the cross is the weight of the sin of the world upon him. The weight of your sins weighing down upon him. This cup that Jesus is about to drink, it's a bitter cup. He is going to feel the accusation of all of the sins of the world. He is going to receive the punishment that you deserve for your sin. But yet, Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. Now, there is a part of me that wonders what the tone was when Jesus said that. I don't know about you, but I have prayed those very words. God, your will, not mine. But sometimes my words come with a tone. Like, okay, fine, God, let's do it your way. I've tried my way, it's not working. Or maybe the tone is more like that of just a defeated man. It's like, I don't have any other choices. Let's do it your way. I don't think any of that happened when Jesus said these words. I think the tone was that of perfect obedience. Jesus knew why he was here. He knew why he was walking the earth. He had this moment of fear and trepidation because he knew what he was going to experience. What we see is that even though Jesus feels the pressure of what is bearing down on him, he turns to God in prayer. I think this text tells us that it's okay for us to feel the pressure of our faith in our life. This text tells us that it's okay for us to experience difficulties and to not be happy about it. But Jesus felt that pressure and he turned to God. And God carried that burden. I mean, that's what prayer is for us. When we feel that pressure, we should turn to prayer, not our way, but God's way, and let God help us carry the burden. Then we get to verse 43 and 44. Now, I have to tell you, if you've got a good study Bible, you're going to find a note there that says these verses are in dispute because some of the earliest manuscripts did not contain these particular verses. It showed up in some of the later transcripts, the later transcripts of this text. And so in this verse, an angel comes and strengthens him. Yet he continues to struggle to the point that he sweats blood. And you can Google it. That's a real medical condition. That can happen to the human body, that you become so anxious, so frightened, that you sweat blood. So these verses, whether they were an addition or in the original Lucan text, they have a spiritual truth in them that we cannot deny. That God strengthens those who surrender to his will. So God sends an angel to strengthen Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't get up, done kneeling, done praying. Okay, I feel better. He continues to pray until, as we read in the text, that he begins to sweat blood. He receives God's comfort and continues to pray. And then what happens? He finally gets up and he goes back to find the disciples that he had told to pray to be asleep. And our text says that they were asleep because of grief. They should be praying, and they're sleeping. The lesson for us in this is that prayer is the difference between standing and accomplishing the will of God and failing. The disciples failed to pray, and they failed their master. Jesus is struggling. He had a practice of praying all the time. Jesus prays and Jesus overcomes. The disciples were struggling and they sleep in grief. Now, I'll be honest with you. I am much more like the disciples than I am Jesus. I am not so good at prayer. I pray lots. But I don't know about you, but I sometimes find myself falling asleep while I'm praying. I'm not very good at it. I know people who are. It's a growing edge for me, and probably will be until the day I make it to the church triumphant and really learn how to pray. But I struggle with that, prayer. You see, Jesus made this a basis of his life. We see that they were sleeping because of grief. Grief for the disciples has turned into spiritual disengagement. That happens to us sometimes. Pain or pressure in our life, grief can pull us away from God, not towards God. We can find ourselves feeling heavy, and we stop praying. We can find ourselves in a spiritual desert, right? Oh, I'm not really feeling it. And so we stop praying. We're exhausted. We kind of check out. That happens to us sometimes. We can check out. We find ourselves not praying. And before you know it, you are spiritually asleep. And what you find is that you are spiritually asleep at the moment that you need to be spiritually awake. You know, I would love to tell you that because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your life is all sunshine and roses. But we all know that's not true. We all know that each one of us in our life will come into a time of testing. We'll get a diagnosis that's frightening. We'll have some change that is foisted upon us, whether we want it or not. We lose loved ones. We have grief. And if we are spiritually asleep when it happens, in a moment that requires alertness, we, like the disciples, will fail. It will be our will, not God's, that is done. Jesus faces this moment of pain. Maybe doubt. The very salvation of the world is at stake. And because Jesus had prayed his entire life, he was ready for that moment. You see, your habits of how you live your life now will prepare you for how you respond when the pressure comes to your life. What you are doing now, as far as your prayer life, as far as your discipling, as far as the time that you spend in Scripture, all will prepare you for the time when your testing comes. And if it hasn't, it will. Your habits now will prepare you for how you respond when the inevitable pressure comes. So what habits do you have in your life that are preparing you to respond to God's will, to respond in such a way that it is not your will that is accomplished, but God's? Don't find yourself spiritually asleep when that moment comes. If you've not started, if it's not a part of your daily habit, I suggest that you pick up prayer. Morning, noon, and night. You can even pray when you're driving, just don't close your eyes. But your prayer life will prepare you to respond as a follower of Jesus Christ. How's your prayer life? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful for your grace. We are so grateful that Jesus said, "Let your will be done, not mine." We're grateful for that salvation that has come through him. Father, we ask that you would help us to become a praying people, that we can prepare our hearts for that time when we will have to respond to what's happening in our life. Father, help us to pray in such a way that we will say, let your will be done, not mine. Father, we are so grateful for your grace, for your unending love, and for the gift of Jesus, and our forgiveness and our salvation. We pray this in the precious name of our Savior Jesus, who accomplished your will for us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.